Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, we are officially on the road to WrestleMania 34. This is the Movies on the Brain podcast, which has been hijacked for the time being to be a WrestleMania podcast, as we are on the way to the show in New Orleans, the show of shows, the granddaddy of them all, WrestleMania. Alongside me this morning are my dearly beloved sister, who is escorting us to New Orleans. She's doing the driving, so... And my good friend, Will Grobisher. Will?
Yes, I am now live, and I want to take her tonight, or else the place will burn to the ground.
So, we're on the road to WrestleMania 34. What are our expectations for the night? What is something that we want to see, aside from the obvious of somebody answering the Cena's challenge?
I want to see AJ Styles versus Nakamura tear down the house. I want them to both be carted off on stretchers. I want them to be that brutalized. I want them to brutalize each other that bad. I think I'm going to solidify that as my match of the night.
What's something you're looking forward to, Lacey? What's something you're looking forward to?
Wrestling, yeah.
Wrestling. Okay.
I'm driving, I'm sorry.
It's okay. I think I'm looking forward to most, aside from Stephanie's outfit, whatever wrestling attire she chooses to wear, which is hopefully akin to her lesbian dominatrix outfit from WrestleMania 32. But I'm really looking forward, honestly, to what I feel might be the match of the night, which is Finn Balor versus Seth Rollins versus The Miz.
Who disgusts me, by the way.
For the Intercontinental Championship. New father of The Miz.
Yes, he is. He's a very good man. And he, by the way, shouldn't have been put over seeing that Manny. I don't care if it was to set up The Rock or not. He shouldn't have been put over.
He gets to brag about that for the rest of his career. Just like Jericho.
And he gets to brag about how he's married to Maurice, which is very hot. Yes.
Just like Chris Jericho gets a chance to brag for the rest of his life that he beat The Rock in Stone Cold in the same night to be the Undisputed Champion.
Yes, he does. And realistically, this is probably going to be the best Mania in the past 10 years. And something we have not mentioned yet is the electricity that will be in the crowd when I think Daniel Bryan comes out. I think the roof is going to come off the place. Not with just Taker and Cena and Brock and Roman, even though they're going to boo the hell out of that match. I think Daniel Bryan, when he comes out, I think he'll come out last for that match, and the roof is going to implode, and we're not talking about that enough. And for obvious reasons, he's overcome a neck injury and finally got cleared, and I'm very happy for him and his wife and their new daughter as well, so this is good for him.
Yes, very good. Very happy to see the Yes Man come back in his first WrestleMania in 4 years. Or was he part of 31?
I don't remember, but I do know the last time he was at Mania, he did defeat, I believe, three superstars.
Last time he was in New Orleans, he defeated three superstars in one night to become the champion.
And that's when the Yes Movement started.
Yeah, or got solidified.
Yes.
Because fans complained enough to get Daniel Bryan pushed. CM Punk actually left the company to get Daniel Bryan pushed.
And now CM Punk is going to be wrestling. No, not wrestling. He's in another UFC match, and he will be a washed-up scumbag after the match because he is no UFC fighter. I'm sorry.
Too small.
Well,
so let's move through the card. Let's start with the pre-show.
We have the women's battle royal. And
oh, you mean the Fabulous Moolah battle royal?
Oh, no. They had to change that for obvious reasons because there was a backlash with Fabulous Moolah and how she was a racist and pimped people through the dirt and everything like that.
And pimped wrestlers out.
But I'm excited for this match because even though it's on the pre-show, I still think it should have been moved to the main card just because the women's revolution has been evolving. And I mean, some of these women are beyond. I mean, some of the athletes they have now are better than when Trish and Lita, and then like Trish, Lita, Ivory, those were just like strong-headed women. Like you have people now like Sasha in the match. Bailey, Becky Lynch, Mickey James, like Lana, Ruby Riott, Sarah Logan, Liv Morgan, Naomi. These are like athletic type of women. So this is a new like breed of women wrestlers. And I hope that Trish Stratus comes out and beats them all because she was my favorite. And then just drops her top, of course.
So, I'm excited for that. I was curious that the fervor was not as big this year as it was last year to move that card, that match, to the main card. Because remember, that was a big deal last year. They were going to put the women's title match on the pre-show, and fans got into an uproar and got the match moved to the actual show.
Yep.
And women's championship matches and women's gimmick matches like this, the Battle Royals and things like that, tend to be time fillers. So that, like, for example, that segment with Rock and Triple H and Stephanie and Rousey back in 31, it was a time filler segment to get the sun to go down a little bit more for The Undertaker's entrance to actually be in the dark. I'm interested to see who shows up, which superstars show up, which are involved, if any legends are involved. I know there was a talk at one point about teasing a Becky Lynch versus Lita match for a future WrestleMania.
I think that would be a phenomenal match. But unfortunately, I do not think that is what's going to happen. I think you're going to get a Trish Stratus sighting. And I think for my stamp on this match, I think you're going to have possibly at the end Sasha Banks, Trish Stratus fighting each other. And I'm going to label Sasha as my winner for this Women's Battle Royal. That's what I'm going to solidify.
See, I think Bayley and Sasha are going to eliminate each other, and that will pretty much take care of itself to continue building that feud. I'm going to go with Becky Lynch. I really think they might finally put her over for a change, which would be nice.
Now we have the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, which I did love, even though I'm only 23, I did love Andre the Giant. And watch some of his older matches with
my sister. My sister loves Andre the Giant too because of the Princess Bride.
But the only really interesting things to me about this match, besides Elias being added to the match, is really I don't see the. I know there's a few people in the match like Matt Hardy, and you got Baron Corbin and Mojo Rawley, who both of them are the previous winners. But Dolph Ziggler, there was rumor that he signed a new WWE contract, but he actually said that the contract is near expiring, and he wants to keep his options open. So there's nothing really exciting about this match. I don't know about a celebrity involvement or not, but I think by adding Elias to this match, I think that kind of gives it away for me that I'm gonna pick Elias to win just to keep. I mean, his gimmick is really nice, and I do think he's
over.
He's over with the crowd, but I don't see him as a main eventer, not anytime soon, just because of how stacked the roster is. But I think it might come down to Dolph Ziggler and Elias, and I mean, they're both good in-ring performers. They can cut promos, but at the end of the day, I think they kind of gave it away for me, and I'm going to think Elias wins unless they want to put Ziggler over just to have some type of moment at Mania. I mean, I don't really have much to really say about this match at all.
I don't think that you're going to get Goldberg on the pre-show. So I think that they're probably going to do it with a bunch of the mid-card guys, which is essentially what this thing has been for the last 4 years. And I think that walking with Elias would probably be a good way to go there. And that will not preclude them from doing a guitar segment, concert segment, later on in the show with Elias.
Agreed. I guess now, pushing forward, we have what's going to be, I think, anywhere from a 28 to 34 minute match, and the Cruiserweight Championship with Cedric Alexander versus Mustafa Ali. These two are very gifted in-ring performers, and yes, they're cruiserweights, but if you put these two, say you put Cedric Alexander on the sides of Finn Balor or maybe a Seth Rollins type of figure, I think they could put on one hell of a match. They might not get put over in the match, but they would put on one hell of a performance. And I think tonight will be no different. These two will tear the house down just like Neville and Austin Aries did last year. And it's going to get a lot of that. And this is going to set the tone for the end of the pre-show to file into the beginning of the show. And Cedric Alexander, a phenomenal, gifted in-ring performer. Mustafa Ali, recently on TV, he has been getting a tremendous push. But I think that comes to a halt tonight. I do think Cedric Alexander is just, he can hit you with his aerial assault or just flat out ground, not ground and pound, but I mean, he's just in-ring work. I mean, I just think he's, I just don't see you can go wrong with him, and I think Alexander does win the match. I don't think Ali just has enough to stop Alexander, so I'm going to go with Cedric to win this match.
I'm going to go with, with Ali.
Why?
I think that they're going to push him a little bit, give him that push, that oomph, and I think that this is his moment. It's very disappointing that for as well as 205 Live has gotten better over the last few years, that their matches continue to be put on the pre-show, where, you know, me and my sister, we've been to a Mania before, like, the stadium takes a while to fill up, and yeah, really isn't filled till about halfway through the first hour of the main show.
Yeah.
So you're not performing in front of 70,000 people. You're performing in more in front, more like maybe 30 to 40,000, which makes a tremendous difference for the way your match goes over. I know Austin Aries was very ticked off that a year ago the match didn't even make the DVD. So, I mean, they put on a heck of a match last year.
Well, I also think he cried because he just didn't get put over, and Neville got put over him like 3 times in a row. And, I mean, now where is Neville? Oh, wait. Not even... I mean, he's with the company, but he's not even nowhere present. But I think the reason you're picking Ali is because of his... maybe his descent, because of WWE broadening the network and such, that maybe they're trying to go a little more for him with it. Not just white, black, but, I mean, look at Jinder Mahal from India or so. I mean, he held the title for more than 6 months. And you have Nakamura, who's in a main event. Not the main event, but, I mean, it is a main event dream match with AJ Styles. And that could be enough. He could be the first Japanese-born heavyweight champion. So maybe you're going along with Ali, maybe just to...
go continue on with the international flair of what they've been doing lately.
So, twisting gears, we have...
so we're now on the main show.
We're now to the main show.
There's been a big pyrotechnics display.
Which, you know, Vince has cut back on to save money, even though...
but he only does it for Mania.
Even though he's got plenty of money and he can do it all the time, but that is what it is. We have next what I think, maybe not in this particular order, or maybe so, but you got the Raw Tag Team Championship. And I find this to be a very interesting, but depending on who Braun Strowman's partner is versus The Bar...
did he find a way to clone himself? Did he find a way to make Brain Strowman a thing?
No. If he cloned himself, then I would have invented the time machine by now, long back, years ago, and been part of, like, the Bee Gees or Kiss or something like that, and done all kinds of drugs and probably be dead by now, but be very famous. But no, what's going to happen is The Bar is going to come out, rah, rah, rah. You're going to have Braun come out. And recently, if some of you have been following or not following, Big Show did sign a new WWE contract. So you could have two massive giants just... to demolish The Bar, and I think this could be relatively a 10 to 12 minute match at max. But what I think is going to happen is you're going to have Braun come out, and you're going to have Big Man, Little Man, and Rey Mysterio shock the entire universe. And I think the match goes on a little longer than it probably needs to. And I think Braun, what's going to happen is, I don't know to who, but I will guarantee you, Braun will hit the power slam on one, if not both, Sheamus and Cesaro. And then I think Rey Mysterio does his old-fashioned 619 West Coast pump. And Rey Mysterio, in the end, does get the pinfall victory. And I don't know where they go with it, but Rey Mysterio, I guess, returns tomorrow night on Monday Night Raw. I see it happening like that. I mean, it could go the direction of the Big Show, but I don't want to see that. I would like to see Mysterio get that nice little pop. But, and this could be, and they don't have to be champions for long either. They could just do this for a short-term period, because Mysterio said he wants some freedom, wants to be home with his family. So, it don't have to last that long. So, I'm going to say Strowman and special guest Mysterio take the titles tonight.
I'm going to say Big Show. Big Show hasn't had a lot of great WrestleMania moments. I'm more in favor of Braun just doing this by himself. Because, like, what better way to continue to build the monster among men than have him win the tag team division by himself? But if you're going to make him have a partner, I think it's either Big Show or Mysterio, and I think Big Show would be better equipped to do that, considering he's already tagged with The Undertaker, he's already tagged with Kane, he's tagged with A-Train. Like, he's tagged with huge guys before, so.
So what, running power slam, knockout punch to one, and they just both pin him and just are the giant champions of the world?
Pretty much, yeah.
Like I said, one could be Brian's way, could be my way it goes. I think it's going to be an interesting match, but anywhere from 10 to 15 minutes, it shouldn't be but a quick squash match with Show, but if Mysterio gets involved, he'll prolong it, and I'd like to see him get that a nice little moment to start off the show. Moving next to what I think is going to be a very interesting but sick WWE SmackDown title match is you got the Usos versus the New Day versus the Bludgeon Brothers. Now, Brian, I'm going to let you start off. What do you think of this match? Like,
I think the Bludgeon Brothers need to be exercised from this match, and it just needs to be the New Day versus the Usos. And I think that it needs to be a ladder match for the WWE Tag Team Championship. Like, these two teams have put on great matches. Legitimately great matches. Paul Heyman even commented on the way that the Usos have upped their game since turning heel. To add an extra team in here, it makes no sense to me, but whatever you want to do. I'm looking forward to the New Day tossing pancakes or ice cream bars or whatever they're going to toss into the crowd. But I ultimately think that the Usos will be the champions.
This match, like I said, you got the Bludgeon Brothers, New Day, and Usos. The Bludgeon Brothers, they're just a new... They're a sick breed of animals. And the only reason... This is where it started. The reason they got in this match is the Usos came out several weeks ago on SmackDown, not just running their mouth as they should. I mean, they have been phenomenal in the ring over the years. And, I mean, they've hit the pinnacle. I mean, they're up there as the greatest tag team in the business right now. And I think after they ran their mouth and New Day came out and they said, and they beat the New Day, they've beaten the New Day, and then they said there's nobody else to beat, that's when that scary entrance of the Bludgeon Brothers hit, and the Bludgeon Brothers had something to say about it. Now, I think this could be a match of the night candidate, and this is why. You have the Usos, their body of work, the New Day's body of work, and the chemistry that...
How's Xavier Woods doing, by the way, with his being power slammed onto steel steps and seizing up and being put on a backboard?
Oh, I got word yesterday from Dr. Andrews. He gave me a call around 6 o'clock at night and told me that Xavier Woods will be present and he will be ringside, good to go, cheering on his boys for this match until at one point the Bludgeon Brothers probably clobber him to death again. But the Bludgeon Brothers came out and they feel they deserve a spot because they've rolled through some people on SmackDown Live. Ultimately, I think the Bludgeon Brothers might take the tag titles only because I think the Usos have held them long enough, not that they don't deserve a Mania moment, and the New Day, they've hosted Mania, and both of these teams have had a good push, and I think we're going to see maybe the Bludgeon Brothers overtake this match, and I think we'll have new SmackDown champions. I really do.
That would be an interesting swerve there.
Indeed. So, next, I'm going to start off with this match, which I don't like. I really hate one of the people in this match just because I just don't like him. And it's Randy Orton versus Bobby Roode versus Mahal versus Rusev for the United States Championship. Jinder Mahal, you've come a long way in WWE for being the champion, but here's my thing. I never liked you. I still don't like you, and I'll never like you. I'm glad you're putting on a nice brand for your country, India. Bobby Roode, all I really have to say about you is you are glorious. You are fantastic in the ring, but you stayed in TNA too long. You should have made this jump a long time ago. And Randy, honestly, I think you're phenomenal. You are the Viper. You can one RKO, and I mean, that's pretty much it. Rusev, it will be a Rusev day tonight, and the crowd will be over with Rusev. But like I said, I don't really have much to say at the end of this match. But I will say that we will have a new United States Championship, and I don't really know who's the favorite in this match, but I'm going to go with that Bobby Roode is your new United States Champion. then that's really all I have to say.
You may, what I have to say is simple. It is Rusev Day, and Rusev does not lose on Rusev Day, even if he comes out in his giant tank. It will be Rusev Day, and we all know that it will be Rusev Day, and it is always Rusev Day. Rusev Day.
So, is that your pick to win the
title? Yes, Rusev will win the U.S. Championship.
Okay. Well, I'll let you start this next one, then.
My match of the night. The Miz as the Intercontinental Champion defending against Seth Rollins and Finn Balor in an epic triple threat match, which the only way it could get any better is if there were ladders involved.
Agreed.
I think this is match of the night written all over it. I mean, Balor and Rollins went for 35 minutes on Raw last Monday night, tore the house completely down, set the tone for WrestleMania week. I really do think that this could be the match of the night. I think that the skill sets of all three are very equal. They all do, they're all high flyers. They all take risk.
Oh, besides the Miz, of course.
I think all three of them, well, even the Miz. Miz does some high risk stuff too. I think they're all three over. And I think
big time.
And I think it'll be a great, you know, the match that keeps coming to my mind is the match that stole WrestleMania 10. Shawn Michaels versus Razor Ramon for the Intercontinental Championship, and the ladder match that defined all ladder matches before the Hardys and Edge and Christian and the Dudleys. Ultimately, I think that this is Finn Balor's night, but I would not be surprised to see any one of these three individuals walk away with the championship. I know there's some speculation about future events that have been announced for future shows about Rollins possibly winning, but you know, Miz got his ultimate WrestleMania moment in WrestleMania 27. He doesn't need another one. Rollins has had his WrestleMania moment because he cashed in. And so I think Balor, it's time for Balor to have his WrestleMania moment. The man who never lost the Universal Championship and has yet to get a one-on-one rematch.
Okay. I can agree with the majority of everything you said. Miz, you've had your WrestleMania moment. You're going to brag the rest of your life that you beat John Cena, thanks to The Rock's help, of course. But, no, you can brag about that the rest of your life. Congratulations, by the way, Mike Mizanin on being a new father, Maurice Mizanin being a new mother, and Monroe Sky, Monroe Mizanin for being a new daughter of those two. I think this match has the potential to also be match of the night, but it will not be my match of the night. I think they're all going to put on one hell of a performance. I think all three equally will be in control of the match at some point. Look for this match to go at least 35, 40 minutes. I mean, all their body of work is good. I'm interested to see, though, if The Miz, with Daniel Bryan returning and the yes kicks and all that, is going to continue his little yes thing where he's going to stop that. But ultimately, I'm going to switch to Rollins and Balor here. Balor a couple weeks ago won on Raw, then Seth won. So it looks like they're even. But Balor still got a sour taste in his mouth about Rollins costing him like the majority of last year, which I would too. And Balor has never gotten his rematch still, by the way, for the championship.
Not one-on-one.
Rollins and Finn Balor, they do remind me of two individual people. Finn Balor does remind me of Chris Benoit because of the relentlessness of him. And Rollins reminds me of a Chris Jericho type. Like, go look up a Chris Benoit in the Jericho match for the Intercontinental Championship when he won his first Intercontinental title. That's what these two remind me of. I think tonight will be no different. They're going to tear the house down. The Miz will not be walking out with the championship. He don't need a moment. Rollins don't need a WrestleMania moment. And I do think in the end you will. I was thinking Rollins would win, but Brian does make a point that Miz and Rollins have had world heavyweight championship closing the match moments, and I think you capitalize with Balor hitting the coup de grace, and I think he does hit it on the Miz, and I think Balor's your new champ. So, as much as I do want to say Rollins hits the curb stomp, I think you got to put Balor over. They've had, and that's the thing. If it would have been Rollins winning like a mediocre title or whatever, or a tag team championship, then I would put Rollins over. But I mean, you've had both of them have main event WrestleMania championship capturing moments, so they don't really need it. So And we're not, this isn't the end of Rollins and Balor anyway, so next up, I'll let Brian take this one over. We have this very interesting match.
So, the next match that we want to talk about is Kevin Owens, the fat blob, as you call him, and Sami Zayn, who never goes over anybody ever, versus Shane O'Mac, who is recovering still from a very curious illness he received in the Bahamas, and one Daniel Bryan. Look, happy for Daniel for finally getting cleared. I will probably always believe that Vince ushered the doctor to clear him because Vince didn't want Daniel going away somewhere else and making a whole lot of money for an indie promotion wrestling Kenny Omega or Cody Rhodes.
Correct.
He finally got cleared. They're going to be super curious with him. I don't expect him to do a lot of in-ring work tonight. I expect him to do some yes kicks. But I don't expect him or Shane to be in their match for an extended period of time, either one. Ideally, you'd like Shane to take the majority of the bumps, but with him being coming off this illness, I'm not sure he's necessarily in the best position to take bumps either. So, I mean, I think ultimately there's no way that that Owens and Zayn can win this match, and I think they'll end up being moved over to Raw, and I think that it'll be a tremendous moment when Flight of the Conchords hits and everybody starts chanting yes.
Flight of the Valkyries, anyway.
Yeah.
This would have the potential to be match of the night if they weren't trying to be so cautious with Daniel Bryan and Shane. Daniel, yes, he's dealing with a neck injury, but for the most part, his neck's probably been really healthy the past several years, but they just didn't want to medically clear him. But yeah, I agree. I think Daniel Bryan and Shane aren't going to take too many bumps, but I do think we're going to see Daniel in the ring at least a fair amount, a little more than Shane, just because Daniel has been itching to get back in the ring. He wants to get back in the ring, and I do think at one point we'll have Owens and Zayn both on their knees getting kicked by Bryan, and I do ultimately think Owens and Zayn will lose, be moved to Raw, and Daniel Bryan will hit the running knees to not one, if not one, to both of them, and we will see them be put over. I don't see it any other way.
The bigger question for me is, what does Shane go through? What does Shane fly off of? He did the turnbuckle through the announce table last year with AJ Styles. What does Shane fly off of to, you know, propel himself closer to death?
Well, what is this? Is this like no holds barred or an unsanctioned type of match? Or they're going to make you think this is going to be a last minute call? They're going to make it no disqualification. No. That's what I think it's got to be. I mean, look at Owens and Zayn did to Bryan. They powerbombed him off the side of the, not the turnbuckle, but the side of the ring. And then they just pretty much had Shane's neck wrapped around his chair and threw him into the steel post, didn't they?
Yep.
And here's the thing, Owens and Zayn, don't copy somebody, because if you don't remember, you two idiots, Zayn and you fat blob Owens, if you can never hear this, Kane started that first where he jumped off the top rope and then stomped on their neck. Am I not right, Brian?
Kane and Taker.
So, pick something else to steal, you fat blob. So that's all I got to say about that. Next is interesting, because you have the Raw Women's Championship, and you have your champion, Miss Little Priss and Alexa Bliss, and then you have what I feel is a irresistible, well, immovable object, and Nia
Jax. She is irresistible. She's very irresistible.
Won't you? And shoot, if you see some of her videos, I mean, she does. She is a good-looking woman. I mean, she's just bigger set. But, I mean, this match intrigues me mainly because just a couple of weeks ago, you have Alexa Bliss and Mickie James just talking crap about Nia. And then you see Nia just go, like, blitzkrieg and try to just want to rip Alexa apart. And she just used her. And that's going on with storyline and such. But I see Mickie coming out there towards the end. Mickie's going to be out there supporting Bliss and try to provide some type of distraction, and ultimately she's going to get clobbered. Like I said, I don't have much to say about this match. I think Bliss, you've held the title and at SmackDown Live and Raw for the majority of both reigns you've had. I know you've been a champion more than 2-3 times, but you've held it for the majority of the time, so I think your reign does end. I do think they put Nia over, and I think at the end of the match, which is going to be funny, I think Mickie and Alexa Bliss do, I think Mickey and Alexa Bliss do get into some type of altercation. And then, because the Women's Battle Royal, I didn't mention this because this is why this moment is coming up. Because of the Women's Battle Royal ending in the pre-show, I think you're going to have Carmella come out. And it only serves right that she does finally use the belt at Mania. I think she does blast it over Nia. And I do think she does capture the title at Mania. I know there's been rumor that she could cash it in even against Charlotte or Asuka and lose the title. But I don't think that's necessarily fair. I don't think they're going to screw over the first Money in the Bank women's holder. So I think she's going to blast it over Nia's head and steal Nia's moment from her. And we'll have a new Raw Women's Champion in Carmella. And I think because of Asuka challenging Charlotte, I mean, Asuka's going to probably veer to SmackDown. And Carmella and Asuka essentially are just switching brands pretty much. So I think we could have Carmella be the new Raw Women's Champion. So
That's understandable, and I get why you would go that way. For me personally, like, you, CM Punk said something a long time ago in one of his pipe bomb promos that, like, it's highly ironic that the company that has, like, promoted anti-bullying campaigns and the Be a Star campaign is the company that perpetuates the most bullying among its employees. If you're going to go down this road with doing Alexa Bliss and Nia Jax and doing the body shaming thing and making Nia cry because she's bigger and, like, she should be ashamed of that, then you have to empower her to overcome her demon, her monster, her bullier, her torturer, and win. And I don't know that you can immediately squash that by having a cash-in. So, I mean, I think Nia Jax walks out of WWE WrestleMania 34 as women's champion with no cash-in.
Okay. Well, then, next we have, which very well could be, I'm going to call this as my second, not the best, but the second best match of the night, where Charlotte Flair and Asuka will go for at least 30 minutes. And this is interesting because Charlotte Flair, she's been very dominant. Her in-ring skills are beyond phenomenal. And as she does say, she is genetically superior. And, I mean, she is. She does
except your wisdom teeth. Those are not genetically superior.
But she is phenomenal in the ring. And then you have Asuka, the Empress of Tomorrow. Nobody is ever ready for Asuka. But here's the thing. Flair, she's been a champ for a long period of time, and she's just starting her career as is pretty much Asuka, and I don't think you can take this moment away from Asuka. Like I said, Mella, she won the Money in the Bank. I don't think you can take that away. And then Asuka, she won the Royal Rumble, the first ever Women's Royal Rumble, and then Rousey came out and pretty much stole her moment. So I think you got to keep her undefeated streak alive. I think Asuka will take this match away from Charlotte, and which will be a match, one could be a match of the night candidate to some others. And I think Asuka's streak continues. I don't see a cash in for Carmella here, just because unless they're both just that winded and exhausted after the match, an easy briefcase blast over the head could win the match. But also another swerve of some kind could be Carmella interrupts the match, and it's a cash-in. Can do it anytime, any place, anywhere. She could blast it over both their heads, and even though the match will probably automatically be disqualified, that doesn't mean that Asuka gets a loss, so her undefeated streak remains intact. But Carmella could blast it over Charlotte's head and just steal the championship from her, and that's very possible, very reasonable. I see Carmella some way winning the championship tonight.
I don't. I think even though she's held it longer than any other person's ever held a Money in the Bank briefcase, I think you're honestly going to get more of a pop if that ends up happening tomorrow night.
Okay.
Because, I mean, you stomp on the moment of I'm not saying that taking the championship away from Nia Jax after less than 24 hours is any better, but, you know, I just...
You need a distraction, though, right, for Carmella. She's not going to just go up and face it. She's not going to go fight Nia Jax and after the match be tired and then blast Nia. I mean, that's technically having two chances in one. It's got to be a distraction provided. and just cash it in. Like Rollins, he cashed it in at the right time a few years ago, and look what happened. I think it's possible that Asuka stays undefeated and doesn't win the match if Carmella interrupts and blasts them both over the head with the briefcase
or
steals the
or
title.
Or does what Rollins did and make it a triple threat and pin the guy who's not Brock Lesnar. Remember, he pinned Roman to win his championship. He didn't pin Lesnar.
And I think that's where WWE could factor in if Mella beats Asuka, that is a loss. She did pin her. Win 1-2-3 in the ring. Fair and square. Because the briefcase, you can do whatever you want at any time. So I think she could pin Charlotte, and that could set up a Charlotte versus Mella type of feud. So
on SmackDown.
Yeah. On SmackDown. And we'll see.
I think they're going to keep her undefeated so that they can get to the match next year.
With Rousey?
Yeah. What's the next thing that's said on that card there, Will?
Something that has been itching and clawing at me since the 25th anniversary of Raw, when Taker left that scripture that I should have memorized, but I didn't. But it says John Cena will challenge The Undertaker yet again. And what's going to happen is John Cena's going to be down ringside. He's going to be rah-rah here, rah-rah there, doing different things with the kids and the fans and the audience and just different segments. And you'll see the camera pop on him, and he's going to do some stupid face and all that stuff like that. And ultimately, and I'll make this a final answer, Cena's going to call out an Undertaker one last time. He will ask the audience one last time for Taker. And you will see The Undertaker come out. I'm not going to say he's the Phenom or American Badass, because we just don't know. But I think you will see Taker come out, and they will close the show. And Taker needs to go over and hit Cena just with one violent tombstone after calling him a cowardly bitch. You don't call The Undertaker that, because most of the time you rest in peace after that happens. And I think this is what's on everybody's mind. I mean, when you have in the brochure, the pamphlet,
the poster,
the
program,
a question mark, that leaves an easy feeling, because this is what's going to happen, like I said.
He can't move merch on a match that isn't announced.
If Taker shows up tonight and says next year, if he says any of these words, I will burn the place to the ground. I will be arrested. I'll be booked in jail.
The Saints will need a new stadium.
I'll let the officers tackle me to the ground and assault me in whatever way, but I will burn the place down and I will be arrested if this does not happen. But I do think it's not been April 3rd. It's been over a year. Taker's had his surgery. I mean, like I've told you, You're not squatting over 400 pounds. I saw the plates. You're not squatting over 400 pounds at the age of 52, just to stay in shape anymore. You're training for something. So this match has been in the works. I think we're gonna finally get it. I think it's overdue by 2 years, 2 years ago. But I think it's apparent that Cena is now getting more movie roles. And he's doing well. Blockers is going to, like you said, do fairly good money. And I think Cena's ready to take a little, not a permanent, but a little hiatus from the company, and wants to move on with himself. Move on and just come back temporarily when he needs to come back. And I do think ultimately Cena will get a 17th title. Now when, I don't know, but I think this match does need to happen, or else, I mean, people will be booing. Like, they will be very angry if this match does not happen. But I do want to see the Phenom, and you really have necessarily, even though this match would have been awesomer when Shawn and Triple H faced Taker, just because at the pinnacle of the career Cena was at.
For context, Taker versus HBK 1 was at WrestleMania 25. We're at WrestleMania 34, 9 years ago.
Yes.
Like,
oh wait, that's right. Cena was barely in the company 3 years. So, well, I guess now it makes sense.
9 years ago, like, he's at his pinnacle 9 years ago.
Well, I mean, Cena just entered the company in 2002, so I mean, he was just now getting involved. But the funny thing is, I don't think Cena and Taker, besides maybe one time, and I should have did the research, but I don't think they've really ever faced each other in a big type of match. So, I mean, if Taker's healthy and Cena's healthy, I do see this going over 30 minutes, but I think this segment has to close the show. I mean, it has to. You can't just
build to it, and then finish it off with it. Lacey, about how long does it take to recover from hip surgery when you're in your 50s?
I don't know. Depends on what you're doing. A while.
Like 6 months, 8 months?
I don't know. Like a total hip replacement?
Like a ball joint replacement.
I don't know. Probably a while, especially with rehab.
So, I mean, it's possible that, he had the surgery about a week after Mania last year. You know, he's been cleared, obviously, to wrestle. Mm-hmm. I mean, we started having these conversations back in August at SummerSlam. I mean, I think you're going to build to it. But I do, at the end of the night, think that they're going to bring him out. And I think I've come around to Jericho's way of seeing things on this, that, like, the American Badass is not a character that the kids know. And as Cena said earlier this week, character that doesn't work in the TVPG era. So I don't think that if he's coming out, I think he's coming out as the Dead Man or the Phenom or the American Outlaw, the Last Outlaw. I don't think he's coming out as the American Badass. But it is entirely possible that he could come out and they could just book the match for MetLife Stadium next year.
And then the crowd will boo.
Remember, Taker didn't win in this building 4 years ago.
Yeah, but I don't think you can...
Streak ended here.
It did. And a bunch of people were crushed. I think the whole dome was crushed once they saw
it. It was. And the poor women's title match after that just got booed.
Booed to shit.
Yeah. Well, that's a flat.
But yeah, I do hope... oh, jeez.
That's a wreck.
Yeah. I do hope that Taker does come out, and I do see the Phenom, and I do hope that he does close the show with another tombstone. But if he does that, what does that mean for Taker? This can't be retirement. Last year he left his stuff in the ring, but if he comes back, beat Cena, do we not see him again for a year?
Would you take $2.5 million a year to come back and work for one night or 4 weeks or whatever? He made $2.5 million last year off of one match.
At
50 years old.
You're talking about two icons, two people that are basically on the Mount Rushmore along my other two solidification picks, which are Hulk Hogan and Stone Cold Steve Austin. Sorry, Rock and Triple H, but you just didn't make the cut.
But I mean, I'd take $2.5 million to show up for one night a year. I can do that. I can do that until I'm 60 at least. You can get to 30-0 or 30-2.
But I do think
28-2, I guess. If you're gonna get to 30.
Hold on. I'm actually getting a phone call from Dave Meltzer right now. Uh-huh. Hold on, y'all. I gotta take this real quick. I think this might be a butt taker. Yes, hello. Yes, this is he. You've spotted Taker. How do I know you're telling me the truth? Alright, send me proof. Alright, well, I just got off the phone with Dave Meltzer. If y'all don't know who that is, just go look it up in Google. I'm not going to explain to you what it is. You have a computer. You have a phone in your hand probably right now listening to this. Meltzer just informed me that Taker has also been spied by the Hyatt Regency with him, his daughters, and Michelle McCool running in the building like they're running from someone or a murderer. So, yeah. Taker is in the building. He will show up tonight, and he will finish off Cena with a vicious tombstone after calling him a cowardly bitch.
It'd be interesting to see. I mean, I'm still impressed with the fact that he got a tattoo of his ex-wife's name on the most vicious part of, hardest part of your body to get a tattoo on, the Adam's apple. And then they got divorced and he had to go back and get another tattoo to cover it up.
Ooh, I don't even want to think about that.
Yeah, think about that. Think about how tough Taker is. So, alright, so I'm excited for this next match because I get to see Stephanie McMahon, the crush of my teenage youth, come out in her lesbian dominatrix gear and try and get her ass handed to her by rowdy Ronda Rousey, who is gonna take who is apparently taking Roddy Piper's gimmick from the 1980s and gonna try and make it her own. Look, this would be a good match. I don't even know what kind of skill set they're gonna try and utilize her with. What's her finisher? Is she a submission wrestler? Like, is she going to try and make you submit? Is she going to overpower you and, you know, F5 you? Like, what is Ronda's skill set? What is she going to do as far as having a skill set as a wrestler? Like, that's the part I don't know, because obviously they haven't had her do a lot. She doesn't sell very well. That's one thing we figured out very quickly. She hasn't learned how to sell yet. You know, Steph's one of the all-time best women at selling.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the spot last year, you know, me and my sister were at Mania last year. We saw Stephanie take that bump through the table, and she sold it really well. We've seen Stephanie sell, you know, matches with Trish and Lita, sell spots with other men. I mean, like, I don't know. I know what Stephanie's set is. I've seen her wrestle a bunch. She's a former women's champion. I've seen Steph wrestle a lot. I don't know how her skill set is going to match with Ronda's skill set, because I feel like this is going to kind of be an intergender thing where, like, the women are going to be in the match at the same time and the men are going to be in the match at the same time. So, Triple H angle doesn't really sell a lot for me, just simply because, like, I saw that match a bunch growing up. I mean, that wasn't like, let's just say, The Rock versus Shawn Michaels, which is a match that I never got to see. Like,
no one ever got to see.
Right. Like, it's not something like that was unique or rare or something like that. So the Triple H angle thing doesn't do much for me. Stephanie in her wrestling gear, back being an active participant against a person who they're going to push to the moon to help get her, career going again is the more interesting thing.
Okay.
What are your thoughts?
Here's the thing. I've seen Angle and Triple H. Last time I saw them fight, Triple H got...
Poor Batista.
Triple H lost.
Poor Batista. Like, oh, hey, guys, I'm here on the phone. I want to do the match. Oh, wait. Wait, you're going with Angle? Like, you couldn't have called me, maybe? Like, I was here. I was waiting by the phone.
Like, this is the thing.
Oh, it's okay. He can cry into his Guardians and Infinity War money, because he's going to make a lot of money off of Infinity War. So,
Angle and Triple H, look at here. Triple H is funny what happened to you years ago, when Austin cost you the title and Angle beat you because you costed him the title. You stupid fool. You don't cost Austin the title. Anyway, this match is going to be fun. It's going to be interesting.
I think all 70,000 people are going to New Orleans right now.
Well, the right lane's closed ahead.
Here's the thing. Angle and Triple H, this started back following Survivor Series, if I'm not mistaken. These two don't even need to be part of the match. I would love to just see Stephanie versus Rousey. I want them to beat the piss out of each other, grab their hair, all kinds of stuff.
Table spot,
and just get down to the nitty-gritty. At the end of the night, you're gonna see Ronda go over. Ronda's gonna get the pin or submission over Steph. I'm not really gonna expect any wowzers or anything spectacular from Ronda. I know she was in UFC, but this is a different animal in itself in WWE. I know she can ground and pound, do submits, so she's got that part down. So realistically, she's just trying to do. I mean, she can grapple and all that, so maybe she is equipped. But I don't think they're gonna make her look that impressive just yet. And even though she's been training for this match, I think it'll be a fairly okay match. I think Angle and Trips are going to set... I mean, I think they're going to do most of the work. Steph and Rousey will get in the ring for the closing part of the match. And I think you'll have Ronda Rousey most likely tap out Steph. And, that's really all I got for that, honestly. I mean, I think Ronda and Angle win. I mean... And Ronda makes Steph tap out, like she said.
Yeah, I think it's the right way to go with Ronda right now is going to be to make her a submission specialist. To make her do the arm bars and the cross faces and the ankle locks and things like that. You know, I'm pretty sure we're going to see Ronda Rousey put the figure four leg lock on Steph tonight. Honestly, this match is more interesting to me if it's Batista in the ring, because, like,
him and Triple H have kind of like a more recent past.
Right. And you can play off the fact that, like, you know, Batista was not pleased with the way he was used 4 years ago.
No, he was not.
So, I mean, you can work shoot. And that's something that I've enjoyed about this WrestleMania season is they've been playing in to the work shoots, which I think helped things. But I think it'll be an interesting match, to be sure.
Now, next is my match of the night.
Matches of the year.
Match of the year with a stamp on it. Which, and ultimately, this should honestly be closing the show if it was up to me. Screw you, Vince. But you're going to have the phenomenal one, my favorite wrestler, the phenomenal AJ Styles, versus the artist, the gifted Shinsuke Nakamura. What people don't know is that Shinsuke Nakamura did tell Styles that he still holds a 1-0 lead over him from the New Japan Pro Wrestling days, which this is true, but that's irrelevant now. We're in WWE, so there it's nil-nil a piece. This is a dream match. This is what all the fans want to see. If Vince had little iPads or whatever like that and said, vote for your match of the night right now, y'all, the whole audience has 5 minutes to solidify, I'm pretty sure they'd pick Nakamura and AJ to close the show. But I think this is match of the night, and I will say this match is going at least... This match will be 35 to 45 minutes. Yeah, I mean, it's just... The show's 7 hours long, went into midnight. I mean, this is going to be a long... This is going to be a 40-minute match at least, and they're going to tear the house down, tear each other apart, and I'm an AJ Styles fan. He is the most... I think he is the most gifted in-ring performer in WWE. I set his skill set aside of the likes of Shawn Michaels, and I think other people would agree that if that match could have happened... Here's the thing, AJ, if he would have came a few years ago to WWE, I mean, he would have been pushed more to the roof than... He would have been pushed more or just as much as Cena. Orton, most people don't even know, Orton's a 13-time champion. Like, AJ, you're better than Orton, and I know you know that. But Nakamura, hate to say it, I think Nakamura will hit the... his finisher. I forgot what it was, honestly. The Kinshasa, I think he's going to hit the finisher on my guy, AJ, because, I mean, the whole first ever Japanese champion could happen, and AJ will have a rematch, and I think this feud isn't just, this would be a one and, this is no one and done. I think AJ at some point captures the title back. Now, the swerve I see happening is if they put AJ over. Now, what does that mean for Nakamura then? But I think they got to put Nakamura over to capitalize on his Royal Rumble moment and him being the first Japanese champion ever, and I think ultimately my guy Styles will get pinned and Nakamura does go over. But I mean, there's no way this house, there's no way the dome isn't engulfed in flames before the last match or two segments go on. I mean, I would like to see Styles go over, but go back to last year before Mahal had the title, he held it for the majority. Then after Mahal lost it or whatever, Styles has held it again. So AJ, I mean, I don't know if he's really had a WrestleMania moment, so he could capitalize on that, but... I mean,
he had the match with Shane last year.
Yeah, he had a match with Shane, and although it would be
nice, it opened the show, actually.
Yeah, and they tore the house down. But ultimately, I do feel, final answer, that you will see Nakamura get that title raised above his head, and I just feel storyline, I mean, that's the way to go. And I mean they're both equal. I mean, they're equally equipped. Now, like I said, if Styles wins, something had to happen last minute for them to change their mind. But I think the Nakamura does capture with the Kinshasa at the end, and you have a new world, I mean, new WWE champion.
I would agree. Yeah, I think it could be a match of the night, possibly a match of the year. I think at the end of the year, we'll be talking about that match as one of the best WWE pay-per-view matches of the year. Which brings us to the last match. So a little history lesson. WrestleMania 20. Word had gotten out that Brock Lesnar was going to leave the WWE and go try and be a professional football player with the Minnesota Vikings. And Bill Goldberg's contract was up, and he wasn't going to renew. So that meant that in a match that Vince McMahon said that the 82nd Airborne couldn't contain, Brock Lesnar versus Bill Goldberg, which, you know, we saw how, when it's done right, we saw how well that match went over last year. Got squatted on. The fans booed it the entire time. Both Lesnar and Goldberg kind of hemmed and hawed. Austin had to stun the hell out of all of them. It was a mess. The fans knew. The fans were smirks. They knew that, you know, both men were leaving, and, you know, there was no title on the line. It was just a pointless thing. I don't know if it's going to be that bad tonight with people knowing that, you know, that Dana White's going to be in the building and that Lesnar's going to go back to UFC and Roman's going to capitalize on his year of terrificness, having beaten John Cena, having beaten Braun Strowman,
having beaten
The Undertaker.
Maybe he went over Balor.
You know, that he's done
he's
all.
He's had the ultimate year.
He's had the ultimate year, and this is going to be the conclusion of it, to beat the man who no one else can beat. And, you know, they'll do it hopefully in an interesting way tonight. So, you know, I watched the network a lot. I've watched this match a time or two. Before the cash-in, it's literally Roman getting his ass handed to him for like 10 to 15 straight minutes. I mean, Suplex City was born because of Roman Reigns. He said, you know, Brock coined that phrase while beating Roman Reigns down. So, you know, I think that's going to be more of the same. He'll overcome the odds. He'll win the match. And, you know, a new WWE year will begin tomorrow night with Roman Reigns as a third-time WWE champion.
This match, the build, the storyline,
which has been actually decent. I mean, the work shooting of, like, well, Brock's a part-timer. He don't belong here. I mean, basically using all of Cena's stuff from 6 years ago. But still, like, it's nice to see Roman have that kind of edge to him and that kind of, like, shoot mentality. I think it does help. And Paul Heyman literally mentioning the next time you see Brock, you'll be in the Brocktagon. Like, playing into it, which is something they did not do at WrestleMania 20, playing into it, I think, also has helped the build.
So my closing thoughts on the match, this build. You know what I really think, Vince. You know what I really think, creative team, Paul, Brock, Roman, your families. This whole thing makes me sick, and I am serious. It makes me sick because you beat Goldberg last year at Mania. So for one year, you've been trying to. Pretty much, and I'll use...
Hey, give him his credit. He's actually shown up and had multiple title matches. It's not like he only showed up at SummerSlam and Survivor Series.
You're like, trying to culminate the year-long plan of Vince putting Roman as face of the company. And here's the thing. Roman's got the look, the body, his promo he's been cutting have been some of the best he's ever done. And Roman's got that potential to be one of the most iconic as well, and I think he will be, just because, he's got everything you need. I mean, but here's the thing, why not have some type of swerve? Why are you just playing it straight? Why are you just going to play this match straight forward from beginning to end? Like, everybody's known for a year. Roman will go over. Roman's going over Lesnar. Brock and the Brocktagon. Like, it's just. And I know it's supposed to happen, but for some reason in my mind...
It was supposed to happen 2-3 years ago, too.
But here's the thing. I know Brock wants to go back to Octagon, and Dana White's going to be here, and all that. But the match, here's the thing. No one's excited. No one's going to be excited because they've been knowing this for a year. Like, there's no excitement about it. There's no nothing. Like, you're expecting Roman to win the title. So why not throw a wrench... possibly into the plans, and maybe I know the chances of it happening are probably less than 1%. Why not have Brock go over and just completely mindfuck the whole WWE universe? I mean, it's beyond too straightforward for me, and I think there is swerve possibility and mindfucking the whole WWE universe. I mean, at the end of the night, I think you're gonna have Roman go over. He's had the ultimate year, like I said. I mean, the only other person, realistically, on Raw that I think is just as good as him, and they better capitalize this man before the year of 2018 is up. And, yeah, you got Roman, you got Rollins and Balor, Joe and all them, but Braun Strowman, like, yeah, Big Show was awesome and all that, but the agility, the power, the strength, everything, Strowman's beyond over. Like, I think you will see another type of feud like that happen.
And Roman Reigns beat that man in an ambulance match.
But that's why I think there's realm of possibility for the culmination of the Ultimate Year to possibly deflate and Lesnar go over for Vince to mindfuck the whole audience. Like I said, the odds are less than 1%, but I think there is a possibility for it to swerve the shit out of it.
Well, there's no Money in the Bank winner. That's the difference from 3 years ago. There's you had Rollins out there as a possibility to cash in at every moment. You don't have that this time. The most that could happen is, but ask yourself this. If they end up putting Lesnar over tonight and then turn around tomorrow night and have a championship match on Raw in the Smoothie King Center right across the street, and they put Roman over tomorrow night, no difference. Except less people in the audience, but no difference.
No, I mean, you're right. Neither these guys have closed the shows before. They don't need the moment, but they're in the moment because of who they are. But you're right. But here's the thing. And I know we're going to UFC here. Who's Lesnar got to fight in UFC? Daniel Cormier? Like, sorry, dude. Like,
he's small. He's too small.
Like, John Bone Jones isn't ready. That's where Lesnar's going. Lesnar's not completely done. He just wants to go punch up on some people just because he's just not that hateful of an individual, but there is realm of possibility, I think, that Lesnar wins.
There's unfinished business in UFC for Brock to prove that he...
it still can be Mr. It.
Yeah, he can still be Mr. It. And he can't... He knows the WWE will always be there, and he knows WWE is easy money. So, I mean, you know, he can go off, he can do this, train for a match in Chicago at 227 or 228, whatever it's going to be.
Yeah.
And, you know, go from there.
And people that are listening, audience, people at home, I want to throw this idea and see what y'all think. If these matches go as planned, say Roman wins and Nakamura wins, I think ultimately at the Superstar Shakeup, because we've seen Rollins and Reigns, we've seen kind of Balor-ish.
I actually want to see him go back to a draft, because just having just having people randomly show up in a shakeup.
I've seen kind of Reigns and Strowman. Not that that's overused, but how would y'all feel if y'all would see Nakamura as a champ, and then the shakeup or a draft happens, and guess what I think? I told Brian this. What if my boy AJ Styles comes over to Raw? We've never seen this a skill set like Reigns and AJ go face to face, and I think ultimately
that's a SummerSlam match right there.
I think that Brian just said it. I think that could be a SummerSlam match, and who knows what could happen. I think they could have a great five matches type of feud, and they each go over. I mean, here's the other thing too. You have Samoa Joe, and I know who knows where he's going to appear, but you have Samoa Joe from he came from TNA to NXT to he's in the now.
Why are you promoting Coastal Alabama amusement park on a billboard outside of New Orleans? Makes no sense.
But when is Samoa Joe going over? When is Braun going to go over if you put AJ over here? But like I said, Roman's beaten them. He's had the matches. He's never had a match with the likes of an AJ Styles or a Nakamura. Nakamura's not coming over. They're gonna put Nakamura over, and that's fine. But that would be interesting. Have an AJ versus a Roman type of feud. I wonder how that could really go. They think they're the best of the best. Roman has been ultimately the best on Raw. AJ's had phenomenal runs with his title and been the best on SmackDown. They've beaten similar types of people, and they both have a victory over Cena only because, I mean, obviously, Cena was just in the point of his career now to put people over, but I don't see how. I think that's going to happen 100%, that AJ's going to come over, and Roman's going to say he's the big brother, this is his yard. You're going to hear my guy, the phenomenal one's music hit, and they've never had that match. That could be a dream match right there. They could put on a 40-minute match, no problem. And eventually, they're going to face. I think that's going to happen. AJ's going to come over to Raw.
Yep. So, we will see what happens. We will be back with you this evening on our way back home.
It's going to be very late, obviously.
Extremely late and extremely tiring, but we are all looking forward to WrestleMania 34 from the Mercedes-Benz Superdome in New Orleans, Louisiana. Feel free to join the show, watch the show, enjoy yourself, and we'll be back with you afterwards.